Master, along with my friend Tom Fairbanks, Tom engineering and producing our show on the other side of the glass. Together we welcome you. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Friday edition, August 5th, 2016. Hope you had a good week. We are live weekdays during the noon hour on AM 1030 KVOI. We stream and podcast the show for anywhere in the world listening on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Our media partners like to do a big thank you. These are people who support our program by posting a link to our show on the home pages of their websites, TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, Green Valley News, and Saharita Sun, TucsonLifestyle.com, Southern Arizona News Examiner, and the Three Sonorans. Our Friday Focus interview today, Ward 6 Democrat, Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasacek, and joining me in studio to talk with Councilman Kasacek is Tim Steller, Tim columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. Tim, good to see you.
Hey, good to see you.
If you have a question or comment for Councilman Kasacek, our live line number is 790-2040. Our Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster, and we do Twitter at Buckmaster Show. Let's welcome now on the live line Councilman Steve Kasacek. Councilman, how are you today?
Doing okay. How are you guys doing?
We're doing real well. I'm just curious, did Mr. Trump's people ever pay the $80,000 they owe the city for the when they were at the Tucson Convention Center?
No, they haven't, and it's an issue that I raised when they came back the second time when Mike Pence wanted to rent the facility. He wound up using the Fox Theater, but the issue is the TPD staff. They had probably had more staff outside than there were protesters, but. That's a cost, and that's largely what the $80,000 from the TCC event is made up of. Now, I will freely concede that cities all over the country typically just pay these costs, but that doesn't make it right. And these are political campaigns; they're not parades and they're not community events that the city residents all benefit from. We just got through cutting a net of about $8 million out of our TPD budget. And these guys, whether it's Donald Trump or Bernie Sanders, who also has an outstanding debt, these guys go around the country bragging about the hundreds of millions of dollars they raise, and they raise it to pay their campaign costs. And these are legitimate campaign costs. And so my sense is that before we extend a line of credit to a self-described billionaire to come back in and use TPD resources again, he, number one, ought to pay what's due, and number two, we ought to get him to pay in advance what we expect those costs to be. Again, I'm conceding up front that this is a cost that political campaigns generally lay at the feet of the jurisdictions that they visit throughout the country. Somebody needs to be first, and I'm saying we should have told the Pence people that before we can have, actually in this case the Secret Service people, before we're going to assign police officers, we'd like to see some cash money because it's coming out of our general fund budget.
Steve, let's break this down a little bit. I know that I think what you're talking about here is strictly police costs, correct? That's, in other words, they paid the rent for the TCC.
They paid the video and they paid the on-site costs. So what they did not pay is the security costs that were over and above that.
So, and when you say, when you concede that this is generally not paid by campaigns, I mean, why should it be? I shouldn't ask that. You just said that. But why should we start this trend that basically hasn't occurred for decades of campaigns around the country?
Well, because of what I just said, if this were a parade, or if this were a civic event, a community event that the jurisdiction is sponsoring, then all fine, well, and good. Police generally show up and do point control. They control traffic and they do all of that. These are political campaigns that are intended to benefit a politician, somebody who's running for office. They specifically go around and ask donors all over the country to fund their campaign. These are legitimate campaign costs, and the cities all over the country who host these events have to bring cops in on overtime, have to add extra security to venues, and are essentially given a blanket work order by the Secret Service, you will do this. And I'm just saying that if these guys are coming into a city, they should not be expecting jurisdictions to fund their campaigns for them and extend a line of credit. That's why they're out raising money. And I think everybody I talk to is pretty grossed out by the amount of money political campaigns are raising these days. It's hundreds of millions of dollars, if not more. And so jurisdictions should not be left holding the bag for these particular costs.
So why do the jurisdictions then just absorb these costs? Is it they like the fact that the dateline is going to say Tucson, Arizona or Philadelphia? Is there some kind of a perceived good publicity thing going on here, Steve?
I'm not sure the Chamber of Commerce Visit Tucson would be rolling out the red carpet for these guys if they knew that it was going to be an $80,000 cost. I don't think it's a tourism thing. I don't think it's a marketing thing. It's just the way it's been done. And as Tim correctly said, this has been going on for decades. And I'm just saying that doesn't make it right. And the reason that they're raising campaign donation money is to fund their campaigns. This is a legitimate campaign cost.
So, Steve, where would you draw the line? You're talking about a campaign, presidential campaign, but, you know, we've got statewide campaigns. We've got protests by groups that raise money. I mean, you know, is this a principle you'd only apply to presidential campaigns or somewhere further down?
We're not adding extra police and security when somebody comes in here to run for a state office. These are major calls by the Secret Service for extra security for political candidates who are getting the Secret Service protection that we're also paying for, we taxpayers. This is a magnitude of scale different than the kinds of things that you just described. Nobody's asking for extra police protection when Frank Antonori comes in and wants to hold a speech down at Presidio Park, for instance. I mean, this is not happening. I mean, so you're trying to draw an analogy between two things that don't even equate with one another.
Well, I think you could probably draw an analogy with a protest. For example, thinking of the big one up in Phoenix a few weeks ago, where there was a whole lot of police that came out. It was an anti-police brutality one. And, I mean,
it a Black Lives Matter?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, could you call up Black Lives Matter and say, this is your bill for our policing your event?
It's not even comparable. I mean, Black Lives Matter is not running for political office. They're not doing a national campaign for donations that to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars, and they're buying ads for their, you know, for their campaign all over. I don't even see even a remote analogy between a legitimate, I'm not calling it the protest legitimate, but a protest out in the streets where there's a legitimate public safety concern that's brought on by that event versus somebody who's running for political office who's out raising hundreds of millions of dollars to fund their campaign. I don't think they equate at all.
Councilman, will you bring this up before the council that perhaps there will be from now on that in these presidential races that the costs have to be paid for security up front?
I've raised it with the manager. I've raised it with the mayor. I've raised it with the chief of police. Chief Magnus's position is essentially that, yeah, we have to absorb these costs. We don't like it, but it's the way things are done. I would certainly like to see the city take a policy position on it, but you know I'm not gonna throw down a gauntlet on it at all. I know I'm swimming upstream on it.
All right, let's go to the live line. Our friend Jim has called. Jim Kelly would like to speak with Councilman Kasacek.
Yeah, hey Steve. You know, since it's the Secret Service that's asking for these services, why don't we bill the Federal Elections Commission instead?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm up for just. I want to recoup our $80,000, and from this particular event, the Fox Theater is out saying that they were paid up front, which is fine, but they weren't paid up front for TPD costs. It's the Secret Service is also probably absorbing costs because they're. I don't know this for sure, but I would imagine that when a political candidate reaches some level at which they're deserving of or needing Secret Service protection, I'm guessing that the candidates aren't paying them either. So taxpayers are picking that bill up as well.
All right. This is a good point to take our first break. Steve Kasachek, Councilman Ward 6, will be with us for another break. We're going to switch gears here when we come back. Tim Steller with us from the Star. It's the Buckmaster Show on our Friday Focus interview. And our bumper music, the intermission music today from George Harrison. This is My Sweet Lord.
Hey, this is Ken Flower. We're at this party where the homeowners recently replaced their old inefficient windows and doors with brand new energy efficient Pella products by Enhance Openings. And I tell you, these homeowners, they know what they're doing. They took advantage of our free Pella installation sale. Hey, look who's here. Wow, you're looking great.
John Lewis.
I never saw you so clearly.
Joseph Blair.
I saw you through the new patio door across the way. You look fabulous. And you're asking about the free installation sale? Call 520-886-1602, 520-886-1602 for the free Pella installations by Enhance Openings. My fellow Centurion is here. You're
Bill Hussey.
Bill, don't let the savings pass you by. Call today for our free installation sale, 520-886-1602. Join the Pella party. You got to call 886-1602, enhanceopenings.com. Well, you like the Pella products. Wait until you see the garage door.
It's time for the Humane Society of Southern Arizona's second annual Sweat for Pets Walk, Run, and Roll, October 23rd at the University of Arizona Campus Mall. Bring your well-behaved canine companion and all your friends and show your support for your hometown animal shelter. All proceeds go directly back to saving the lives of the homeless and neglected animals at the Humane Society of Southern Arizona. You can win prizes too, including a Fitbit and an Apple Watch. Win a custom t-shirt when you raise $100. Register today and start building your team at sweatforpetstucson.org.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The RTA's 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and expanded transit services to provide added convenience and accessibility. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the news from a different perspective. Local opinion from Emil Franzi, Bill Richardson, and Bruce Ash. Our national columnists are the best. Michael Barone, Thomas Sowell, Ilan Berman, Avik Roy, Bill Tatro, and A View from the Left with Sam Smith of Progressive Review. Plus, Michael Ramirez political cartoons. It is thoughtful opinion and commentary only found in the Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
right.
All right, George Harrison, one of my favorites, While My Guitar Gently Weeps. I was asking Tom, our wonderful engineer producer, when did Mr. Harrison die? And Tom, you said, oh, maybe about 5 or 10 years ago.
Yeah, I didn't think it was more than that.
How time flies.
Boy.
What was it, 2001?
2001, late November sometime.
Wow, time really does move along. Steve Kasachek is with us, Tucson City Councilman, Ward 6.
Two of them left. Two of them left.
Councilman, the Arizona Daily Star over the weekend is expected to be putting out a piece on the relationship between the city and county over the county flood control money. Do you think the city residents are getting their fair share of this?
No, I don't. In fact, I raised that issue a couple of weeks ago with both the city manager and our transportation people. This came up as a result of the July 1st really major rain event. And first of all, let me say that there is nothing that the flood control district or the city could have done to prevent the midtown flooding that happened on July 1st. That was a really unique event. And so what that event did, though, is it raised some questions. And in the aftermath of that, I pulled together a meeting, which was a very productive meeting. It included the mayor and the city manager, some people from the county, people from TDOT, also some people from SunTran were there, and our water people. The outcome of the meeting was, well, there were a few outcomes, but the one most germane was that we began to take a survey of the midtown areas, the midtown residences more particularly, who were flooded during that July 1st event. And the purpose of that was to hand over to the county some data that they could use to make an assessment as to where they might be able to invest some dollars from a flood control standpoint. So I sent that request for information out to all the residents in many of the midtown neighborhoods that got hit pretty hard. And one of the guys who got the request said, hey, this is a wheel you're asking for, and we've already invented it. You don't need to invent it again. And we did it back in 1995 with a very comprehensive study that identified 47 projects. And these projects are bound in a book that he still had. He was on the committee that that put together the study. And he gave me the book, and I looked through it, and it had 47 projects, sure enough. And so I asked the water people, city manager and water people, how many of these have been done since 1995. And the answer was 10 of them. The project cost generally for those 10 is about $20 to $25 million. The flood control district, and I won't get too deeply into the weeds with the numbers, but the flood control district brings in about $20 million a year. Without doing all the arithmetic, the city of Tucson taxpayers have paid about $125 million in taxes to the district in the last 20 years, and we've gotten about $25 million worth of projects. Now, let me also first say that I know that if you do a project upstream, and it happens to be outside of the city limits, it can certainly have a positive impact on city residents. And so there is going to be some play in those numbers, but by a magnitude of about 5, from $25 million to $125 million, it seems to me that the city residents, who are also, by the way, all county residents, are perhaps not getting their fair share in terms of the way these flood control district dollars are being allocated. And the example is, if we've done 10 out of 47 projects, that's a pretty good indication that either the city is not being aggressive enough in making requests, or we don't have an effective voice at the table on the district, or we're being ignored. And so, I've, again, thrown that in the city manager's lap, saying let's make sure that city residents who are county residents as well and who are paying 42% of the tax base for the flood control district are in fact getting that amount of project value in terms of flood control projects in the city limits.
All right, here is Mr. Tim Steller of the Star.
Steve, so why...
I have a question for you, too.
Oh, that's okay. Why don't you ask me? Let's try it.
No, mine's totally off topic.
Oh, okay. So the city itself can do some of these things, can it? I mean, I understand the question of whether we're getting our money, you know, our fair shake, but the city can do it, couldn't it?
Well, we need a funding source. And so maybe that may, perhaps the conversation then becomes, instead of having the county collect this property tax, a secondary property tax from the city, about 30 cents per every $100 valuation, maybe we should be collecting those dollars ourselves and allocating it within city limit projects. So, yeah, but the question is as to the funding source. Mm-hmm. And my point is, if we are already paying for it, we ought to be getting the value of it.
I had a question from a Facebook friend about police being in schools. Should the police officers, some have voiced some concerns about their safety at TUSD schools. Should these people be, these officers be over a school resource officer? Should they be part of the program?
I think school resource officers are an excellent program, and they're not just simply there to walk around and you know, bus kids or, you know, carrying pot around the school or whatever it might be. They're there to build a rapport with the kids, and I was among a majority of the council who fought pretty hard to get that program refunded. So yeah, I mean, irrespective of the discipline issues that are going on in TUSD right now, and I will tell you they got some answers that they owe to the public for some of the obvious failures on their part to report discipline issues. That aside, though, that's a different question. The SROs, the school resource officers, are a very really important link between TPD and the young people in this community.
All right, here's Tim again.
So what do you want to ask me, Steve?
So you're saying that it's unlikely that Allie Miller is going to wind up behind bars?
Yes.
Which is more likely, that she will wind up behind bars or that she'll get reelected?
That she'll get reelected, for sure. Much, I mean, I frankly expect her to get reelected, but that's...
Did you read that in the Arizona Herald?
I actually checked the Four Herald yesterday, and it does not exist, at least as I expected it to.
What about La Placita? Councilman,
good deal. It's about, and I'm glad that it's moving forward. This can be another link in the whole kind of cascade of what we're seeing downtown. The AC Marriott's another one, but La Placita, the developers in there came in originally with some pretty aggressive plans. They were challenged on some preservation, historic preservation elements, and they have agreed to preserve some of the more important historic elements of that little section of downtown. They still do have some questions that they need to answer, because some of the historic commission concerns involves things such as what you're doing is you're building a wall around the historic assets, and we need to make sure that they're accessible to people. One thing I would like to see them incorporate more in their design is more retail, and right now it's all housing. And so from the standpoint of changing the demographic, though, downtown, again, which is another thing that we're seeing, so it's not just all student housing and low-income housing, this is a market rate stuff. And so it's that continuing evolution of the downtown development where we're saying it's not just going to be students and bars, it's going to be people who want to live and work in the downtown core. This is a step in that direction. And as we see more heads, more beds downtown, you're going to see more of the amenities that some of the people are asking for. We already have the downtown market going in. That'll bring in things like drugstores and other kinds of amenities that the retailers need to see a quantity of people, not just transient people like students, but people who are actually living down there in order to invest in.
Hey, Steve, what about the hotel, the Great White Elephant next door that HSL also owns?
Well, I do not believe it's a taxpayer's responsibility to bail out a tax obligation that Bert Lopez has, and I've been pretty upfront about that. I'm hoping, though, that it's the same ownership group. I mean, HSL is the one who's doing La Placita. So hopefully they will see that as a result of this La Placita build-out, it'll be a catalyst for them doing something largely off the taxpayer's dime with Hotel Arizona. You know, the longer they wait, the longer they're going to be in a position of seeing a saturated market. We have the AC Marriott. There's another one that people are looking at across on the west side. And the foot race now is between three players. Number one is the Ronstadt Center. Number two is this Hotel Arizona. And Alan Norville's got some chatter going on about the one over at the I-10 parcel. So those are the three that are still in play. And at some point, the lending institutions are going to say, you got plenty, and we're not lending for that use anymore.
What have you talked directly to Mr. Lopez and asked him what the delay is all about? What has he, and if you have, what has he responded?
I've spoken to both him, to Omar Miralles from HSL, and to Mr. Lopez's attorneys. It is right now a situation where, in my opinion, they're expecting too much of a taxpayer involvement for too long a time in the funding of the renovation of that hotel. If they would come back with something more along the lines of what other developers have seen downtown, you know, an 8-year G-plat or something like that, then we could talk about it. But right now they're asking for more than what anybody else is getting.
You're in the sports facility development business. What is your opinion professionally of the work that's been done at the Tucson Convention Center as Major League Hockey gets ready to debut here in a couple of months?
Well, it's good. The kinds of amenities that we're putting in right now are the second phase. The first phase was a year or so ago when Rio Nuevo funded some fan amenities, and that was upgrades to the seating and the video and that kind of a thing. What the Roadrunners asked for were amenities to upgrade the locker room facilities, the sort of backstage sorts of things that the fans aren't necessarily going to benefit from. But if you're going to have a facility that's going to draw in a professional hockey team, then you're going to need to do something far better than what we had before for just the Ice Cats. So it's good. I had questions about the nature of that contract. We got those issues worked out. I will tell you, though, that I'm still skeptical as to the long-term viability of professional hockey in the Tucson market. They're going to have to do a heck of a marketing effort to make their 3,000 average paid attendance work out. When they held their Select-A-Seat deal down there a few weeks ago, they sold about 1,000. And from working in the Tucson market sports community, I can tell you that expecting a large walk-up crowd night after night is a tough sell. So they're going to have to make a pretty good marketing play in order for them to be successful over the long run here.
And I certainly hope they make it. Being a hockey fan coming from the Chicago area, and Tim is from the Minnesota area, and he loves hockey too, I know, so he's hoping.
My wife more than I.
Well, I do too. I mean, I grew up on Hockey Night in Canada and followed
hockey
when there were six teams in the NHL and nobody wore a mask or a helmet. So I totally get it.
Yeah.
But I'm just not sure that product is meant for this market.
No, it'll be fascinating to see if it actually plays. After
it will,
all the,
yeah. It will.
So what do you think, how many tickets do you think they have sold season ticket-wise? About 1,000 is
it? I know that they had about 1,000 on the day they held the Select-A-Seat.
Okay.
So that's the last number I know. But I also know that by the terms of the contract, after 5 years, their out is that they need to be averaging 3,000 a game.
Mm.
That's 30 round numbers. That's 30 home dates. So I'm saying that's a tough hill for them to climb, and they get it, and they're going to have to do. I really think that they would be really doing themselves a favor if they would find ways to engage the community. And for instance, when we opened the ice up on the first part of whenever it is October,
right,
bring the fans down, bring the community down, skate with the team, put on what a goalie has to wear. Those guys are losing 10 or 15 pounds in water weight a night.
Yeah,
take some shots on goal, stand in the net. Really, because the Tucson, other than people who grew up in the Midwest like the three of us. People aren't familiar with hockey, and they need to learn the sport from the ground up or from the ice up. And so I think that they need to really find ways to get people physically involved in the event or just trying to sell them on, hey, this is a fun, fast sport. You'll really love it if you try it. People aren't going to buy season tickets based on that.
Yeah, and there hasn't, I don't know, just I have not really heard that much buzz. There was a lot of buzz initially when the announcement happen, but you're right. They do need to really get people more engaged. There will be I think the first game was sort of an intra-squad game with the Coyotes is going to be a free event, but But,
it's free. They're going to ask people to donate, and the donations will go to the Ice Cats. But, you know, that was another place where they stubbed their toe, because that event that you're talking about was originally billed as a preseason hockey game between two NHL teams.
That's true, yes.
So, you know, they're already off to a questionable start.
All right, Steve Kasacek, thank you very much. I hope you have a good weekend.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot. Steve Kasacek, Tucson City Councilman, Ward Number 6. Tim Steller sticks around. Mary Herreras from The Weekly also is going to join us. And we'll be back on the Buckmaster Show. We're going to take our mid-break right here, our bumper music today from George Harrison. Here comes the sun.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. And with almost 60 flights a day taking off from Tucson International Airport nonstop to San Diego, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Oakland, San Francisco, Salt Lake City, Denver, Portland, Seattle, Dallas, Houston, Minneapolis, Chicago, Atlanta, New York, and easy one-stop connections to hundreds of destinations around the world, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Every year, eager travelers journey to Europe to experience the Yuletide season at its very best. With the glittering backdrop of winter white hilltops and extravagantly decorated cities, get swept up in the enchantment that's in the air. Let's not forget the most magical part of all, Europe's famous Christmas markets, renowned for their festive atmosphere, great food and drink, and handcrafted gifts. Experience the magic of the holidays aboard an Ama Waterways river cruise. Call Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Christmas market cruise and save up to 40%. Bon Voyage Travel, 797-1110.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday, the Monday Political Face-Off features commentators Bruce Ash and Joe Holt, plus Wildcat football time already. The Buckmaster Show live, noon to 1, on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI. And we've got worldwide live listening, podcasts, and show archive on my website. That's buckmastershow.com. Back. It is the Buckmaster Show as we push toward 12:39 on this Friday afternoon. Tim Steller is with me, columnist for the Arizona Daily Star, and your column today, Mr. Steller, addressed that ad that John Winchester put out with Allie Miller behind bars. Yeah. A mailer that went out, I think you said, to 10,000 homes?
That's what he told me. I asked him how 10,000. Many. He said 10,000 all in District 1.
You know, I asked, that was, I think, was my first question after congratulating Mr. Winchester on his new child. He's a...
Oh, God, yeah. I forgot that altogether.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Got a brand new child. So that was my first salutation to him yesterday. But the second thing I brought up was, what the heck were you thinking with this ad? And he says, well, there's a possibility she's going to go to prison. And as you pointed out today in your column, that's pretty remote.
Yeah, I mean, there's a possibility any of us will go to prison for something, you know? You might, there might be police waiting outside this door right now for you. Yeah. That probably is, actually.
Hope not.
It's not that it's impossible to commit a violation of the public records law that is a crime and punishable by prison. That is possible, but most likely that would have to involve very active destruction, obfuscation, or other deliberate acts of hiding and destroying records. Now, you know, there's an argument that she hid them by saying that she didn't have any public records on her private email, but the likelihood of an actual criminal charge is about zero. I mean, these are the things that are worked out in civil court in terms of news agencies suing and then attorney's costs being handed to one side or the other, depending on how the records are handled.
You went to the Governor Pence event on
Tuesday. When?
Tuesday.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
that rainy day.
Yeah. So it was kind of interesting to hear Mr. Kasachek, Councilman Kasachek, talking about funding these things security wise. So
yeah.
At least they paid the fox, which is good.
I actually don't know that.
Steve said, and that's good because I love the Fox. They're one of my sponsors, of course. Happy they got paid. But I guess the city had – I didn't realize that this was like around the country that I don't want to say the word that they stiff the cities, but eventually I guess they pay them.
I don't think so.
Maybe
I
not.
Mean, I think the tradition is that,
you
absorb provide
it.
The police and that's that. And let me tell you, the police presence there – was tremendous. It was very large. I'm not saying that was a bad thing. I think it might have been appropriate, although, you know, in normal Tucson weather, there might have been a little more chaos or whatever, but it was pouring rain all morning. So there was like one protester. Yeah, I mean, it was...
And they filled the bottom, the half of the bottom part of the theater, or was it?
No, the theater was largely full.
Okay.
The balcony was largely empty. Estimate is somewhere between 900 and 1,000 people attended. The place holds 1,164. There weren't that many people.
Mari Herreras is with us, editor of the Tucson Weekly on the live line. Mari, how are you?
Hey, guys. I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. All right. I talked to some people today. They're big Trump fans. They've not been involved in any political activity before this, but they're really excited about this. And guess what the reason is? It's all about, I'll answer my own question. It's all about Mr. Trump's personality. They were huge fans of his show. And they really are into this now. It's almost like addictive to them. They want to go day by day, what are the latest developments, like it's a TV show, to see how it will end.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think?
What do I think of that? Well, you know, I think I started off this entire campaign season when he first announced that. I remember telling another radio person that I was just not going to talk about him. Like, you know, this is just not a viable candidate who's stirring up hate and all sorts of stuff. So why even talk about it? Why even recognize this person as a viable candidate by bringing him up on the news and things of that nature? That was a long time ago, I guess. And in retrospect, you know, I guess I just didn't realize we were all part of one big reality TV show. I should have known better. Yeah. But, you know, I guess I didn't realize that.
Yeah, with the advent of smartphones, social media, and all that, we really are. I mean, we are practically part of a reality TV show. You know, everyone's tweeting and periscoping from the Pence event and all that this week. It's a reality we're in.
Hey Mari, we had Steve Kosacek with us for the first half hour talking about the Humberto Lopez property, the hotel that everybody's waiting, kind of what's going to happen there. And, you know, it would be nice to get that thing off dead center, wouldn't it, and start moving, get some movement on that.
It would be. It really would be. I mean, you bring people through town. Everyone wants to know what's going on with that building and what's going to happen with, you know, it's just sitting there. So, yeah, I think it would be great to see some movement and changes there to take place. I think that's definitely welcomed by a lot of folks downtown.
You know, I wrote about this before. I left on vacation in mid-July, and the thing that really gets to me is that, you know, it's been more than a decade since we've been talking about the deals that Bert Lopez might strike with the city or other entities to redevelop the place. And I really don't see the deal being there. And I said in my column then, and I feel like this now, that I wish he'd just sell it. Mm-hmm. Clean his plate of it. Let someone without any baggage try to make something of it. It's not an easy deal. I mean, if it were, it would have been done by now. But I feel like he's got so much baggage with that particular property.
That's part of the problem, I think. And there are people out there that do say, yeah, bad will. There are people out there that say, maybe we need to reexamine that, though. You know, maybe is it time for us to, like, you know, not harbor the past against Lopez and what he stands for. I mean, even in his own company right now, what he has his nephew coming in and having a prominent spot in the business dealings. And I know some folks out there that you wouldn't think of have actually said said that they think he's a pretty good guy.
Oh yeah,
and have some good things to say about.
He has quite a following. Speaking of a following, I'm one of your followers on the Tucson Weekly. Mari, it was a nice cover story about the writer in residence. I had no idea that the Pima County Library has a writer in residence. She's fairly prominent author, isn't she?
Yeah, she is. This is her debut novel. It went to paperback last month. You know, we love the library at the Weekly. We don't really hide that fact that we do, and no reason to.
I'm sorry to interrupt. What's this author's name?
Adrienne Kelt. She's a local writer. She lives in Tucson now, and she is now the writer in residence over at Pima County Library System. So she has office hours at the downtown branch and the Himmel Park branch, about 10 hours a week, helping area writers with their writing. She's the second Pima County writer in residence for the county library system that they've hosted. And yeah, she's got a great energy about her. I know a lot of local writers who've interacted with her that have enjoyed getting to know her and also getting advice from her as well. And her novel has done really, really well. It's a beautiful novel called The Daughters. So we ran a small interview with her and an excerpt of the novel, which we do from time to time, excerpts of local author books. And yeah, we check it out. It's a beautiful novel.
Now, speaking of local authors, while I was on vacation, I finally got a chance to read Mark Beauregard's The Whale, which is about...
Herman.
I wrote a column about it last spring. It's about Herman Melville and Nathaniel Hawthorne and their relationship.
Wow.
I really enjoyed it.
That's a great book.
He's a local.
Yeah, he's a
local guy.
Yep.
And we're going to have Miss Kelt, thanks to you, Mari, for bringing that to my attention. We've booked her to be on the show Tuesday, August 16th, so people will have a chance to meet her. So I'm glad you exposed me and others to the fact that they have a resident writer at the at the Pima County Library System. We're going to have to run, but Tom, do we have Matthew? Matthew, I'm going to put you on the air here, but you're going to have to make your comment very, very tight, Matthew. Well, I guess we don't have Matthew. All right. That's going to wrap it up. Tom, do we have Matthew? Okay, Matthew, real quickly. Hey, Matthew. Matthew, are you there?
Hi, Mari. Can you hear me?
Mari?
Yeah, Matthew.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh. Go ahead.
I was very interested in the article about the NAACP proposing adding to one of their, planks, a moratorium on charter schools. I'll be honest, I'm following this with LAUSD and their charter school problem.
Quickly.
Have you spoken to anybody locally about how that will affect Tucson or Arizona? And does anybody care? I mean, seriously.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Well, it's a national organization making this part of their national platform. How that translates into actual policy change, Matthew, if you think about it. I mean, I'm kind of a community activist, hobbyist, I guess, in terms of recognizing how policy changes both statewide and everywhere else, and it has to happen more than just a platform of a national organization. And I'd imagine it would, that has to motivate people to put pressure that would have to be really huge, because right now charter schools are king in the state of Arizona.
All right. Mari Herreras, thank you very much. We'll look for your work in the weekly. Thank you.
You guys take care.
All right.
Thank you.
Tim Stiller, thanks a lot for coming in. Tim, what's your column on? Are you still looking for some ideas Sunday?
No, I'm set for this Sunday. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's due.
Well,
soon.
I don't know if you remember, about a year ago, I spent some time in Santa Rita Park hanging out with people smoking spice.
Oh, yes.
Well, I'm
yes.
returning to the subject of spice weekend.
There's
a DEA raid a couple weeks ago.
So you're going to re-entertain that topic.
Yep,
All right. Tim, have a good weekend.
Okay, take care.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
All right, Weekend Watch with Matt Russell's next. Be right back. This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across our region. More than 755 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to communities throughout Pima County, the RTA unquestionably makes a difference in our region. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm a passionate traveler visiting more than 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 5 airlines flying to 18 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with businesses they trust. Hi, this is Alan Schultz with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, here to remind you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week. Are you accredited? To apply today, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to start with trust.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. All right, time for Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, Inside Tucson food and beverage columnist and award-winning Tucson publicist. Weekend Watch brought to us by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. What a beautiful time to get away to Silver City. The rains have made the Gila Wilderness just a beautiful place to go hiking. SouthwestNewMexico.org, the place for all of the many, many things to do and the great places to stay, like Bear Mountain Lodge and Casitas de Gila guest houses. Let's welcome now Matt Russell, who is getting into the Olympic spirit of things. Matt will be calling here in 1 second. Did we lose him there, Tom? No, we did not.
He hasn't called yet.
What?
Not yet.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I know that the top of Matt's list, something must have happened, but I do have his happy hour pick at Contigo, the Contigo Latin Kitchen. Happy hour for that is their big event going on there. And Saturday night bistro menu at Jeannie's French Cafe. That's another one of Matt's picks. And opening night of the Cuban Blaze restaurant. So not exactly sure what happened to Matt. There must have been some kind of a follow-up with our phones, but that's the way it goes, Tom. Sometimes when you're doing live radio, gotta go with the flow of things. What are you going to do this weekend, Tom? Do you have any suggestions?
Well, let's see. Well, it should be a nice weekend, even though the rains, mainly because probably the rains are not going to be as much of a factor, and I don't think it's going to be extraordinarily hot, so it should be a good weekend
really,
to get out and do
things. It's a good weekend, and as I say, a good weekend to go over to Silver City. My goodness, what a beautiful place, just 3 hours east of Tucson, Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, with so much to do, like exploring historic downtown Silver City. And you can go antiquing there, or you can go sort of hang out. They've got some great restaurants in Silver City as well. We're going to tell you that the Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. The Buckmaster Show is wholly responsible for its content. On behalf of our entire team here at KVOI, our fine operations manager, Ray Allen. Ray is also my producer and engineer Monday through Thursday. Then, of course, Tom Fairbanks, producing and engineering for me on Fridays. Jerry Cross, he is the best in the business when it comes to production. We love having Jerry's work. His commercials are top-notch. We want to say thank you. Doug and Mary Martin, our station owners, my executive assistant who keeps our website in great shape, making sure all of our podcasts are posted in a very timely fashion, Rosemary Brandt, and also our original theme music, my German friend Christophan. He now has his CD out called One God, and that link to that CD available at buckmastershow.com. On behalf of everybody here at KVOI, Tom Fairbanks, Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a great afternoon and a great weekend.